I am Sid Garza Hillman, and this is what I think.
I don't know why I was thinking about this story, and it happened on the way downstairs to my studio to do this podcast. I was thinking about this sorority party I got invited to when I was in college at UCLA, and I was not, just for the record, not in a fraternity. There's no judgment there. I'm just saying I wasn't in a fraternity. Got it? Okay, good. So I got invited to the sorority party, and it was some theme. One thing about me, you guys, if you want to know, and if you don't, then you're going to know anyway. I don't like costume. I'm not a big costume party. Theme party, it's just not my it's not my bag. Also don't like potlucks, just for the record. So I got invited to this sorority party, and it was sort of themed. I think it was dressed up in something that I have actually blocked out of my memory, which is, I think, is a good thing, because it hopefully made room for things of more use to me long term. I'm sitting there in this like restaurant clubby thing, and there's dancing, and it's fine. And there's this girl dancing on the dance floor with a guy, and the girl that I was with pointed this other girl out, and she said she just joined the sorority, and she said she's really an asset because she was cute. What she said was, yeah, she's really cute, isn't she? She's really an asset. She referred to her as an asset. I'm not sure this is like dream analysis, but I wasn't dreaming. I just came downstairs to the podcast, but I don't know why I was thinking about this thing, except to say maybe that sometimes we can just be absolutely ridiculous, our species. And unless we check ourselves, that kind of language is just insane. She's an asset because she was attractive. Is being attractive a good thing? Sure. Yeah, great. Is being an asset? That's moral gray area. I know what she meant. You know, great, good for the sorority, good for the team, to have somebody attractive on it. Good times. I got out of that relatively unscathed. I think I may have blocked other things from my memory that also better off that way. Okay. So, yeah, let's get into some business here. I'm thinking about bullshit. That's it. This is what I'm thinking about. I was thinking about if we cleared all the crap in the world marketplace on the health. I'm going to talk health and happiness, because I kind of generally swing it around to that. But if we cleared away all that stuff, my question to you guys this week is it, do you think that there are really just a few simple things that if we lived by those things, we would do extremely well? And the answer in my head is yes. And I think that it's a very, the world is so, now with the internet, so content rich. And that's not a bad thing necessarily, but man, does the field get muddled, right? And it's so muddled, and there's so much noise that we lose sight of the very few simple things that if we follow those things, we probably do fantastically. But if we did follow those few things and didn't need all the noise and clutter and just crap out there, how much less content would there be? I mean, it would be like crazy. I mean, how many 1,500 different ways do we need to talk about food? We kind of have a general idea of research, like here's the healthiest foods given the micronutrients, but we have to frame it in 1,500 different ways, and it's just sometimes it's exhausting. Only for me, if it gets in the way of people actually following practices and actions that deliver them health and happiness, it's that's where I step in and go, wah-ha-ha, too much. Too much, you're noising up the brain. You know what I'm saying? But wouldn't it be weird if we sort of broke everything down and then said, okay, here's like the fewer five or six or maybe less tenets that if we live by, we're all doing great. And we're good. Good? We're good? Okay, good. Let's do that. And how much less content there would be. My goodness, there would be like nothing out there. We'd just be like, now what? We'd be sitting around bored. But, or would we? And that's the question, right? Because if we didn't have that stuff, We'd probably be doing great. We'd be hanging out with our families more. We'd be playing games. I don't know. What do people do that don't surf the internet? I don't know. I forgot. I don't know what I did. I don't know what I did when I was living in the 1800s in a past life. I don't buy into past lives. Did I tell you that? And even if I did, who cares? Because I don't remember it. So what difference does that make? Whoever I was in a past life certainly didn't drink the blended scotch that I'm drinking now. I'm devolving in every body that I go into. Everyone assumes that you sort of evolve into the next upper level. I'm going the other way. Next life, screw top, something. You know what I mean? That's kind of the direction I'm going. I just think we'd have more time if we sort of, or we'd be more successful, I'll put it that way, to do the things that we love to do if we kind of remembered and anchored our lives in the very few simple things. And again, we'd have all this extra time because we wouldn't be searching out so much complicated stuff and confusing. I mean, we'd have time to crochet, for instance. We would have time to crochet. You know that planter holder that you wanted to crochet and you just don't do it because you're surfing, trying to find out about protein. Well, there you go. Now you got time to crochet, which is a French word, crochet, which in English means crotchet. Okay. On that note, I wanted to talk about the golden rule today. The title of this episode is The Golden Rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I like to, at every turn that I can in my own life, it's just me, use the word unto. I like to use the word unto because, first of all, it makes me sound intelligent. Second of all, actually, there's no second of all. It just makes me sound intelligent. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Here's the thing, and again, this is one of those very simple things. All the religious stuff and all the discussions of ethics and morals, if it kind of... Is it that pretty, that simple almost? Yes, almost. It's that simple. If we just freaking remembered that. But here's my take on it. It means that we actually, as human beings individually, because for me, right, always comes down to the individual, we have to define how we want to be treated. We take that for granted. We go, do it. Yeah, golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do. And we have a sort of a cursory idea of what that means. But what if we really got deep on that in our own lives and said, how do I actually want to be treated? Because I'm going to say that's how you should learn how to treat yourself that way first. Before you expect others to treat yourself that way, to treat you that way, learn how to do that for yourself. Define that. Make that so clear. And then see how that informs your world. But you can't just, it's one of these like throwaway things, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, but you don't know necessarily in a very clearly defined way how you want to be treated, what the best way is to treat yourself, and how to do that. And sometimes when you do that, of course, you realize it's hard to treat yourself well. Huh, well, wait a second. So if it's hard to treat yourself well, then how can you expect other people to treat you well? If they're having their own issues, treating themselves well, so on and so forth, I think you get my freaking point here. It's more complicated. A brilliant rule, to be sure. And one that I believe if we all followed, it'd be phenomenal. But guess what? It takes a little thought, a little definition hunting, a little like, well, what does it mean to actually treat myself? How do I actually want to be treated? Do I want to be nourished and cared for and treated kindly and with compassion? Well, let me see if I can do that for myself first, see what that's like, and then sort of put that out into the world. Dig? Okay. On a totally, totally related note, this is an announcement. I said I wasn't going to do announcements, and this is an ad, and so I'm sorry that I have to do an ad. It's not an ad, you guys. I'm not sponsored. Did I tell you that? I'm not sponsored. But Target, if you're not in the United States, lucky you, first of all, because I'm not right now. I'm just like, I'm moving to Norway. I'm still on the Norway thing. I can't let that go. Target, which is a box store, as they call it, Target, has a podcast listener of the new podcast, and old podcast, actually, but of this podcast, sent me a link. Target has a new low-calorie, high-protein ice cream. A new low-calorie, high-protein. I did some hunting on this because I'm always fascinated with high-protein. I just think it's fantastic. I think it is such a... It's so tempting on some level, but then on, you guys know, like 99% not tempting at all for me. But to tap into that kind of marketing and advertising knowledge, every time I have to like put something on a credit card because I can't afford it, I go, man, if I just would embody the high protein thing, I could drive something not a Ford Focus. It'd be amazing. If I could just it just do something about protein or something very easy. I know what sells. Like I said, I look at the YouTube video, all the sort of surface level, just believe in yourself kind of stuff that I'm rallying against because it's just not helping. And it helps the people who say it because then they get all the attention. It's fine. Am I jealous? I'm not jealous. What? I could do that. I'm just saying I don't. Low-calorie, high-protein ice cream. Now, I did a little bit of searching because I wanted to know what the hell's up with this thing because it's fascinating. I can't find the ingredients. Now, I'm guessing they put some sort of like whey protein powder or soy protein isolate. That's junk food, by the way, by every definition of nutrition. But I couldn't find the – I'm conspiracy theorist guy me saying, why aren't the ingredients on there? Low calorie, high protein. Why can't I search on the ingredients of said ice cream at Target? Huh, Target? How about transparency first? How about that? Yeah, exactly. Thought so. Fail. I'm going to bounce back to the whole like clearing away the clutter and getting down to the few basic rules kinds of thing. If I were a conspiracy theorist, which I'm not, but if I were, I'd say that the level of distraction in the marketplace and in the news, I'd say that some people do it intentionally. I'd say that if I were an evil genius, and I'm not evil, and I'm not a genius, I don't even know the word genius. It's Latin, I think, and I don't even know what it means. I would sort of put a bunch of stuff into the world to distract people. If I had something to sell, a product, if I had an agenda that was maybe not so wonderful, I would distract the crap out of people. I would put so much stuff out there because then I'd be like, you go look at that shiny thing and you go look at that shiny thing and you guys go over there, look at that shiny thing. And all the while, I just kind of keep doing my deal. But I'm not a conspiracy theorist, so I don't think that happens. Sorry. When I lie, I just cough. It's a biological imperative. For me, thank goodness. It's my moral compass. And in all seriousness, I really don't do announcements in this podcast. This is only episode 6, but you've seen. I'm going to break my rule for 1 second because it's just going to happen and you guys can listen to it and do what you want with it. But I'm going to be offering a smallsteppers.com promo thing. So sign up for my mailing list at sidgarzahillman.com. Okay? Because it's going to be like a 35% off I'm going to open it up for like 4 or 5 days or 3 days or something and then shut it down. So that's what that is. If you guys, it's the real deal. That program, now that I got a few hundred people that have run through it, man, great. I'm not kidding. I'm really proud of it. Some like seriousness. Okay. And while I'm on this note, thank you, as always, for the reviews that are still coming in. You guys did not listen to me last week. I asked for a negative review. I wanted a negative, very personal, very biting review. That didn't happen. I got a few more positives. So, you know, thanks and no thanks on that note. And thanks for Patreon. It's Patreon in my brain. Come on board for patreon.com/SidGarzaHillman. Okay, thank you, guys. Okay, so here's where freedom exists. I'm going to ruffle some feathers, so let me ruffle some feathers because that's kind of the theme of this podcast. I'm not intentionally ruffling feathers. For me too. Like I got to tell you guys, you know that I have never in the old show, this show, in my own life, sit up on a pedestal and go do this and do that. This is anything you hear in this podcast is me. I'm telling myself, grow up. That is the most mundane crap that is filling your brain right now. You're bothered by the stupidest, inconsequential thing that happened, and you're going to devote more than 0 seconds to it is a travesty. And it's helping because I just got to like slap myself in the face. Move on. Get back to work. You're distracted. See what I mean? You're distracted. Get back to work. I moved up from Los Angeles, I just was like, I have memories of just being in coffee houses, 1,800 people in a coffee house. That's a little bit of an exaggeration. Working on a screenplay. I'm a screenwriter. Then write a screenplay. I'm a filmmaker. Then shoot stuff. Make stuff. Make it. Shut up about it and make it. And I have to have that conversation with myself. Shut up about it and get back to work. if I am frustrated by how much distraction there is, and yet I'm spending time on YouTube trolling around. Look, and I love YouTube. I love YouTube. I have a vlog. I love it. I absolutely love it. But a lot of the stuff I look on there is a waste of my time. It's not the free time. It's not my like downtime. I'm talking about doing that during times where I actually want to be productive. During my free time, fine. Yeah, fine. I can do whatever. I'll look at YouTube and other stuff. But I just, this is, you know, where I, ugh, right? Mm. There is so much freedom in calling a spade a spade. Okay? Calling a spade a spade. And here's what I mean. And take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this, okay? If you're overweight, call it. If you're addicted to food, call it. If you hide eating food, call it. Call it out. Call it out. You don't have to add, you don't have to change your behavior right now. You don't have to ever, by the way, but you don't even have to if you want to right away. If you are, here's the thing. And again, I was very clear in the last show. If you're overweight, if you're heavier than you should be on a health front, but you dig the way you look, fine. There's no judgment for me. But be careful if you don't actually dig the way you look. If you are making excuses, then you know it. And when you know it and you don't confront it, it comes out in nutty nut nut ways. It's going to come out at your workplace. It's going to come out with your family. It's going to come out with you in ways that you are not going to be happy with. Sorry, but that's just the truth. The things that we know about ourselves do not disappear just because we deny them. They don't leave our bodies and minds because we squash them down and compartmentalize them and decide we're not going to deal with them. I don't want to confront that. I don't want to deal with it. I'm just not going to deal with it. Well, it's going to be dealt with one way or the other. It just is going to be dealt with one way or the other. I think it does the world a very big disservice if you're overweight and unhappy with the weight and you go, I'm curvy. It's natural. It's not freaking natural. Sorry, but it's not. You're not a bad person. Nobody is. Trust me, if there's anybody who understands the width and breadth of what it takes to get on top of addiction, and that's how I see this for me and everybody else in the world. Because now, again, we, not to go deep on this, but we have choice about food that we wouldn't have in nature, and it's, we're grappling with that every day, and it's a struggle, you guys. It's a struggle. But that doesn't excuse us to acknowledge the things that we're not happy with. It really, really doesn't. The world today is very hard to negotiate. It's harder in a way. Look, we're not getting chased by leopards. So that's like a bonus. So there's certain things about the world that's like we're safer in some way, like in many, many ways, at least short-term safer. Like we don't walk out our door. Most of us, by the way, not all of us, unfortunately, but most of us walk out our door and there's not like a threat of death like immediately. But man, there's a threat of death in more of a long-term sort of declining, sort of unhappy along the way kind of model. We do better when we grow up about it and say, like, I can fix these things, but only if you acknowledge these things. And I want people to call it. There is free. It's freedom. The very definition of freedom as it relates to health and happiness to me is at first acknowledging the truth and your truth, what you know, because you freaking know it. You already know it. I'm not even telling you something you don't know. You already know it. You know the things that you want to fix in your life. I do too. I know the things I want to fix in my life. Over the last few years, I have gotten better, but not all the way, but that's the practice of what I do, in at least acknowledging, like, that's kind, I can be a dick sometimes, like, and not in a way that makes me, oh, it would never make me proud to be a dick, right? But I had to, like, not expend the energy to justify, you know, revisionist history kind of this thing. Like, whoa, now, it's not, like to really get to the truth of your mental state when you're behaving in a way that is not you. And that's how I look at it. You guys know that. It takes effort. It's not a day like I'm going to do this today. I'm just going to say it all out. You got to sort of, again, swinging back to how I started this episode, it's in a way, how I look at it I started the episode by talking about, you know, clearing away the clutter of the world. Well, on the personal level, we have to clear the clutter in our heads to get to the truths that we already know, but we have to acknowledge them by clearing the clutter in our heads. That is, by the way, sometimes isolating ourselves from the distractions of the world, like picking up our phone at every 5 seconds. and taking these moments when we can find them to get to the point where you go, I have a food addiction problem. I have a, you know, like to say that, right? I'm hiding, you know, food. I'm hiding eating things. I have shame around it. I don't feel good being overweight on every level. I don't feel good physically. I don't feel good about the way I look. Unless you do. And if you do, you better be honest about it. Because if you're lying about it, you don't even want to know how, you know, the ramifications of that. One of the ramifications of that, of course, is that you're going to continue the behavior that led you to be overweight in the first place. It's going to be more shame, more guilt. Again, that's just the reality of our human psychology. Humans do not do well when we compartmentalize and hide things and deny things and pull revisionist history kinds of crap where we look back at things we did and try to sugarcoat them to make them look like they were all of a sudden not what they were. And here's what I'm going to add this even further. Let's say you've got something that's genetic, and it actually is, let's say. And there's very few things that are actually genetic in the sense, there's lots of things that are genetic dispositions, but things that are like, you have a gene and you're going to 100% get this, those are very few and far between. Not what we're led to believe. We believe that's genetic. It's genetic. There was a person who came in. I love this story so much. This friend of mine, well, not really, an acquaintance who's on sort of on the same speaking circuit that I am. So I see her and she's a doctor, an MD, and who also learned about nutrition, just FYI. You know, right? I gotta add that in when I always gotta make that little dig. She's an MD who also learned about nutrition, just because that's a fact, by the way. Okay, but whatever. So she came into the resort for dinner with another friend who was an MD, who I never met, and that woman had her husband with her. So fine. So I go up to the table and I'm chatting away, right? And the husband, very nice man, he goes, listen, I don't know what, can you recommend some things to order because I have a genetic allergy to carbohydrates. I'm genetically, I cannot consume carbohydrates genetically. Okay. Now I go, what? And I didn't say that out loud, but in my brain, I'm like, what? And so I said, genetically, you can't consume carbohydrate. That seems, if I consume carbohydrate, like I'm really prone to type 2 diabetes. Like if I consume any carbohydrates, like it's genetic. And I said, boy, I've never heard of a genetic, and immediately the woman, not my friend, but her friend who's a MD, puts a hand up. I love that. That's always do unto others as you would have them. Put your hand up in someone's face in a very condescending, arrogant way, because I do that because that's how I want to have people treat me too, so that's just me. Puts her hand up, and she goes, it's genetic, okay? He just can't consume carbohydrates. And I said, listen, if you could do me a favor and send me whatever research you have on that. I have never read anything like that in my entire life. I've never read anything that type 2 diabetes is genetic. Can you please send me what you got? Because I don't know everything, of course. I'm the first one to say I do not know everything. So send me what you got because I want to learn. That's amazing. I gave her my card. She had my email address. I leave the table. I go upstairs. And this is obviously at night, it's dinner. I get on my email and I email Garth Davis. He wrote Proteinaholic. He's become a buddy of mine just, again, because of the speaking circuit. I get to meet all these incredible people. So I email Garth and I go, listen, hey, man, when you have a second, can you shoot me any research you have on a genetic allergy to carbohydrates? Any studies that have shown or documented people who have a genetic where they, because of a genetic disposition, cannot consume carbohydrates, give me what you got. He writes me back 10 minutes later. He's like, doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. He said, oftentimes people will eat the food that they grew up with, traditional, ritual. You guys, you know how I talk about that all the time? And they'll eat what their parents ate, and their parents have type 2 diabetes, and they will end up getting type 2 diabetes. And maybe there's a certain disposition to it being expressed that way in type 2 diabetes, I don't know, but he said there's no documentation. It's that we eat the way that our parents ate and they got diabetes, and so we go, oh my gosh, I'm a genetic, I gotta watch out, I'm getting overweight. Yeah, because you're eating what your parents ate and they ate like crap. On a side note, now I'm just getting pissed. You know the whole thing of like, I think this was Michael Pollan. Give me a freaking break. Eat food that your grandmother recognizes. My grandmother knew what Twinkies were, and you know why I drink scotch? My freaking grandmother told me about scotch. My grandmother told me, and I love my grandmother. Single malt scotch and French roast coffee. That was Nunu Hillman. Okay, shouting out to her because that's where. Okay, so should I just do those two things because she recognized those? Should I just do those all the time? I mean, Christmas. Now I'm just pissed. You guys got me all mad. First a sorority party. That's just like all happening now. All this stuff's coming up. Thanks for being here for me. Mm. Thanks for listening during my breakdown. You know, I was listening to this podcast and it was sort of like a health and happiness kind of thing. And then he had a nervous breakdown and he didn't edit it, which was weird. He could have taken the whole thing out. He left it all in. I don't know what happened. I did delete my Patreon account. That's for sure. But so back to this thing. Even if you have something that actually is genetic, here's my advice. Pretend like it's not. Pretend like you have a control over it. Pretend like you can get on top of that. How amazing is that? I got this thing I don't have control over. That happens, you guys. It's real. But when you pretend that you do, then all of a sudden you go, you know what? They tell me that I don't, but I'm acting like I freaking do. You want to know why? Because it's time for me to take control of my life in any possible way that I can. Period. We do better when we bring this stuff out. We do better when we say, I'm in control. I'm taking control. You're going to tell me I don't have control? That's still not going to stop me. We do better when this stuff comes out. We do better when we are not feeling well and we admit to ourselves why. We do better when we can have these conversations with ourselves instead of expending the energy to hide. And I wrote this in my notes because it's going to be related and I want you to bear with me on this. My children, my twins, Luna played soccer for 2 years and basically literally skipped on the field. She wouldn't run. She skipped, and then she would sort of pick flowers. And so we just said, hey, you know, finish the first year if you want to do it again. Like, we just want you to finish the season, and then you can choose. She did one more season of skipping and picking flowers, and then she didn't want to. That wasn't on her bag. It wasn't her bag. I'm not going to force her. I don't care. I just want her to try it and get on with it. But the twins love soccer. And so this year is the first year that they keep score. And they decided this area to not have a goalie. The last couple of years, because of their age. No goalie and not keeping score. Well, guess what happens? The kids keep score anyway. And not having a goalie, in my and Lisa's minds, were, well, how are the kids going to learn the skills of being a goalie? Because if they want to keep playing soccer, there's goalies in soccer. So they're going to have to learn the skills of being a goalie, right? When we don't have goalies and we don't keep score, guess what we do? We cannot have the conversation of what it's like to lose a game. We cannot put anything in perspective for our children. We can't let them know what it's like to be a good sport and to be respectful and considerate and also to feel joy that you win. And if you lose, to be upset by that, but not to be disrespectful because of that and to understand that that is a game in a series of games that will continue for the rest of their lives. We don't get to have that conversation because some jackass in the hippie soccer league in my little hippie town USA decides we don't want to keep score anymore because we don't want to hurt any feelings. Guess what? Hurt feelings are a reality of being a human being. The better we know how to deal with that and move on from that and grow from that, the earlier we can have that conversation, the better we succeed. I want my children to understand what it feels like to lose because it's not the end of the world, number one. And number two, the better they get at that, they can also look at maybe where they made mistakes, how comfortable we are with making mistakes, and then we can learn from those things. I'm 50. Almost, and grappling with this acceptance of mistakes I make. I hate making mistakes. I hate it. And I look back at years of trying to not make mistakes, but trying to convince myself that I didn't make mistakes when I did. That's a waste of energy. I look back and go, man, I wish I had that time back. I wish I had that time back. Man, this is a bummer episode. I'm not going to edit it. I don't even have time. I didn't even want to learn how to edit it because I don't want to knock out all that stuff. It takes time. I got scotch to drink tonight. I took one more sip, and I'm going to finish with this. A client of mine from years ago when I was working with private clients, I don't ever since I launched smallsteppers.com. Just FYI, I would on occasion, but I kind of just don't because that program is just what it is, which is awesome. A client of mine that I worked with a few years ago died. Okay. I just found out. It was very shocking to me. This individual's young, and by young, I mean in the 60s, you know, just retired, like one of those deals, right? And really, really bummed me out. Like, I did not see that coming. Now, in a way. So I'm going to be very brutally honest here. And this is no disrespect to the memory of this person. One of the kindest people I've ever met. Not a joke. I mean, just like giving and generous and exactly what I'm talking about when I talk about learning how to take care of yourself. It is a failure of me in my practice that it's always evolving and always I'm always learning that I funnel this into the program that I do now, the 12-week thing, but also when I was working with private clients to hone continually. But I will be honest, there is only so much I can do. Now, I'm not going to sit here and be an idiot and say, if he had just followed my recommendations, he wouldn't be dead. I'm not going to say that's ridiculous. I will say that it would have helped. I'm going to say that because what I do know about this individual is that he brutalized himself. Brutalized. Not healthy. He did not follow my recommendations. I can't say that I would have saved his life. I can say that there was a very good chance I would have extended it. He would have extended it by following the intricacies of my approach. Well beyond food, guys, right? Well beyond food. I'm not saying I would have saved his life. I'm not saying he wouldn't die at the same time. I'm saying that his health problems existed because of a continuation of behavior that he did not change. And I will say it again, and I hope that I don't need to freaking say this, but it is not because he's a bad person. The opposite, he was an amazingly generous and loving person. This is the struggle. This is why I come here to talk in this podcast. This is why I will do this, even though I'm never going to be big time in this podcast, because it's an under-the-radar kind of message. Get off your ass. Get off your ass and take care of yourself. This is boots-on-the-ground stuff. This guy retired and a year later is dead. And I'm not happy about it. In fact, I'm pissed about it. And we cannot afford to paint the struggle of healthy living as anything but a struggle. It is a struggle. Our search for the easiest way to do stuff is killing us. Our search for the hack is killing us. Killing us. And this is why I do the work I do. This is why I do this podcast. This is why I do the vlog. This is why I do smallsteppers.com. This is why I speak around the country. This is why I write books, because I want people to feel good, to have energy in their lives, to be in better moods, to live longer, to be happier for my sake.
Underground, yeah. Counting days just for fun. Adding up the time till it was done. And I'm walking back and forth to forget where I've begun. And I'm circling wise and see which is more fun. Yes, I'm circling wise and foolish to see which is more fun. Handing over, I'm giving all of it. Through asking what is true. And I'm taking all the memory, leaving them with you. I'll be coming back for them when all the black is blue. Yes, I'll be coming back for them when all the black is blue. The sandstorms will cover everything from wasted adios to torture ass. I bring it. I feel lost without you, but I will. I'm gonna find a way. But I will. I'm gonna find a way. But I will. I'm gonna find a way. In these days when all that was, it is again. I need a plan, I need a friend that I don't mind stepping sideways. I just like to know when I can't put trust in you. Can't do that again. No, I can't put trust in you. I can't do that again. The sandstorms will cover everything from wasted adios to torture ass. Without you, but I will. I'm gonna find a way. But I will. I'm gonna find a way. The sandstorms will cover everything from wasted adios to torture ass. I bring in, I bring in. I feel lost without you, but I will. I'm gonna find a way. But I will. Gonna find a way, but I will. I'm gonna find a way. Underground and count days just for fun. Adding up the time till it was done. And I'm walking back and forth to forget where I've been.